grandma and your grandma were sitting by the fire. My grandma told your grandma, I'm gonna set your flag on fire. You're talking about hey now, hey now. Aiko, aiko, ande. Giacomo Fino, anale.
Ding dong, Las Culturistas calling.
Oh, baby, baby, baby,
baby.
We got a steaming hot episode full of cultural goss, I think.
You guys, this is Bowen Yang, one of your culture consultants.
And this is Matt Rogers. I'm the other culture consultant. And let me tell you, we are joined by someone who is, I mean, truly a culturista.
Truly,
we throw the term around, but I mean, let me tell you, this is someone who's in the know.
She lives it, she breathes it, she cooks it up for dinner, honey.
Yes, she cooks it up and you eat it up.
You eat it up.
You eat what you're eating, what she's serving, honey.
Absolutely.
And let me tell you right now, let me tell you a little bit about this lady. All right, she's on the Herald Team Sleuth.
She's one of the
new stacked team, I think.
Yes, absolutely. Great yes. team.
One of the hosts of one of my favorite shows, The Female Gaze at UCB.
At UCB. And one of the hosts of one of my favorite podcasts,
yes.
The Waiting Game.
The Waiting Game with Jesse Galley. And her name is Janie Stolar. Hello, Janie
Stolar.
Thank
you so much.
We love.
This is a huge moment for me and Janie, because Janie and I, historically, we met on a podcast.
It was the millennium that we all hoped for.
It was the millennium we all hoped for.
Honestly, I would have that. Obsessed with your pod, by the way. I love it.
Thank you. And we really are big fans of yours.
Big fan of you guys
and
both.
I want new episodes. Come on, people. Jake the Myth Smith.
Jake the Myth. Let's live up to that name.
Yeah, come on, Jesse Galley.
Mythological. Okay, yes.
You got to check this podcast out, guys, and you're going to demand new episodes, too. You got great comics, and they're telling their life stories.
Yeah.
And it's really,
it's
really wonderful.
It's very interesting. And Janie asks very stimulating questions.
Incisive
questions.
Thank you.
Yes, I like it. And I felt what I say about the show is it really... You get to hear them really talk.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Mike Kelton tells this unbelievable story, like a rock bottom story.
Right.
And it's so good. I mean, refer to the podcast to
Thank
listen
you.
To it.
Yeah.
It's so good. I love. And I would have it no other way that you guys met on a podcast.
Yeah,
that's
right?
Like
Absolutely.
Too good.
It makes
and we
so
were
much
talking
sense.
About Tina Fey and RuPaul.
Our two number ones.
So
You're
there
both
you go.
Of your like icons.
Icons. And you know what? Janie has recently put out her Q2 brand outlook. Which
okay,
included,
yeah, let's hear it.
Which
we
included
so
such
many.
Elements, such people, figures as RuPaul,
uh-huh.
Beyonce, which we'll get to in a minute.
Oh, yes. Won't we?
Judy Hopps from Zootopia,
Absolutely.
A feminist icon of our time.
Oh, yeah, I haven't seen it yet.
It's transcendent.
Yes.
Voiced by Jennifer
so
Goodwin.
Yes, in a great way.
Yes.
We also have DW, a classic feminist hero
wow.
from before
oh,
even
okay.
we
yes.
knew what we were processing as youth.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Who else is on that? I mean, I always have 1998 Christina Aguilera. Like, there's always going to be that space.
Sure. Absolutely. The Christina Aguilera that laughed like this. Ha ha.
Yeah.
You know, like, ha-ha, yes, we have a lot of producers on this record. Ha ha. Yes. Honestly, I think all of our listeners know exactly what I'm talking about.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's my essential self, I believe.
Can
is
I?
1998 Christina Aguilera fresh out the gate, like, being like, really shady, but like not knowing her true powers
oh,
of shade
yeah.
yet.
That's the perfect compliment to my essence, which is 1997, 1998 Britney Spears, who always went, it's really cool. Like she says, really cool.
Really cool.
Really cool.
Really,
really cool.
Really cool. Really cool.
Just like a little bit dead inside. Just
yeah.
like, yeah, it's really cool.
It's already
like,
withering.
You
yeah.
can tell it's going that
it's
way.
It's going
yeah.
that way.
So this is actually a great segue because we like to ask our guests, what is the culture that you feel has shaped you? So as a
wow.
young Janie.
As a young Janie.
Maybe even as a young Jane. What?
It was... Janie.
It was Janie always?
It was Jane when I worked in advertising. I had my corporate moment.
Yeah.
Because you're born naked and the rest is drag.
Drag.
That was me in drag, serving you, working girl, etc.
Yeah.
The executive realness.
The culture that... What was the culture that you can remember like as a child or as a teen or as a
right.
young teen
that
young made you
teen.
Say like, I'm interested in cultures for me.
I mean, it's always been TV for me. Like,
sure.
if I had to name my one love, you know, it would be TV. And I think it's always been somewhat unscripted, like talk shows and reality shows.
Okay, mm-hmm. yeah. Yeah.
So I remember watching Oprah when I was way too young to know what the down low was, but getting all my information
oh,
there.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Did Oprah have a down low? I mean, of course she did.
Oh, she had a down low episode, and it was phenomenal.
Oh, man.
It really... made me realize to trust nobody.
Yeah.
You know?
See, you know what's funny? When you just said Oprah had a download episode, I was like, that feels more Tyra's brand.
Well, Tyra had, yeah. If she could make it about her.
Yeah.
She would be like, yeah. I'm going undercover on the down low, and then I'm going to cry to people who are on the down low about my experience, and why am I crying to you? Which is what she said when she wore a fat suit, and then she two fat people flanking her, and she cried.
Like, this is so incredibly hard. Yeah. And she gets to take it off at the end.
And then she's like, and now I'm back to me.
Tyra is incredible.
But like, remember when she won an Emmy for that show? She's like a daytime Emmy winner for that show.
I will never forget the episode. She pretended to have rabies, and she walks out on stage while everyone's applauding, and she's like, "Hey guys, I'm sorry, I'm not feeling very good. I was running in my neighborhood, and a dog bit me, and it was
and they were all like, 'Oh my god!'
Absolutely." And then she walks over to her guests, who are just for some reason already without introducing them. She just walks over. Well, she drinks a bottle of water first that has like I'm assuming foam, like something that would foam
some
up.
some toxin because you know she was committing to it.
And then she just pretended to go into a rabid, like, fucking shock and,
you know,
like,
what? I love
freaked
it.
Out. And it was, she barked at the camera and she started barking at her audience
I
members.
I remember that.
And it's
because
truly
her interpretation of rabies was you become a dog.
Yeah.
I mean, truly, like,
she's also
the
one
blind
of those,
leading the blind there.
There's, like, people who aren't that smart think that pranks are jokes.
Yeah. Yes.
They think that, like, they love April Fool's Day.
Yeah.
They're
yeah.
I'm going to scare and upset and confuse someone instead of making them laugh.
I do love, kiss my butt ass!
And then she immediately turns around and loses all the weight.
Yeah.
Let's stand on that platform for half a millisecond along with Jennifer Love Hewitt, another betrayer to our people, and just go right back down to a size zero. Thank you for that moment when you spoke up for people who are on a size zero.
I mean, anyone that says the line, it's interesting because Mallory was wearing the scarf, but the scarf was wearing Jennifer.
Whatever.
I was like, this is, and the fact that you knew exactly what she was saying.
You knew it.
And
it
honestly,
was right.
It really was such a precursor to Rue.
Absolutely.
Like, there's no Rue if there's no that show, and therefore we must be thankful for it.
We have to be thankful. And it also brought, like, I watched all the shows. Like, I remember Project Runway came out, and I was on board with that. Mm-hmm. And Real World, I was watching from the beginning. All the reality shows are just, thank you so much, reality TV.
So you were a big Real World fan.
Oh, yeah, huge.
So what would you say is the best season of Real World?
Okay, I gotta go with Hawaii, because for me, it really shook me and excited me and showed me that there's more in the world.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Great.
So I loved Hawaii, but
I mean, actually the only one that really sticks out for me is Las Vegas.
With Bryn and
Trishel. And Steven. And I remember just thinking all the guys were like so hot. I remember I was like, Which one did porn?
Maybe I'm mixing up the seasons, but there was one that got in a relationship with one of them, and the whole thing, the backstory that they weren't saying was he had done porn before, gay porn.
I think that was Steven and Trishel.
Yeah, wasn't it?
That would make a lot of sense to me. He has a perfect gay porn look.
He's very attractive.
I mean, he is like, he had like the frosted tips like 6 years too late. You know what I mean? Like, it's like that was very gay
porn. And they put that hot
tub
right in the middle of that apartment.
Oh, man.
And they went for it.
I mean, the setups of the apartment, it's like,
I know.
Yeah, it's like, you can fuck over here. You can fuck over here. You can get really drunk here. You can get, it's just like how drunk they get them. And also, you don't still watch it, right?
I tried to watch this season. It's so bad.
Where are they anymore? What cities are they in?
When I saw it, they dropped them in the desert.
Oh, no.
And they had to like fight their way to the house.
And it became Survivor.
Yes. But I will say quickly that Real World Skeletons was really good. They had a house in Chicago and they would bring in people from these people's past who they didn't know were coming.
Yeah.
And it was just explosive fights and people's like long lost fathers came. And it just really was. And also, like, where did they sleep? They didn't have enough beds for that extra person.
Right.
So it raised so many questions in my head.
Wow.
Did you watch The Challenge?
I watched it and then I fell off.
Okay.
Because I don't know who these people are anymore.
In the heyday, did you watch The Challenge?
Yeah, I did. The heyday.
Okay, so that to me was like, that hit at exactly the perfect time that I think MTV was like hitting their demographic. Because I was literally just like 16, 17, 18 years old, just like bored on the weekend watching that show and just being a young man, we'll say that.
I get
like,
that.
It was so, everyone was so hot.
Yeah.
They stacked those casts with just the hottest people ever.
Uh-huh.
And they were just so angry and fighting and yelling and screaming. And you were like, this is what it means to be an adult.
I know, right?
And, which is crazy.
Yeah.
And they were just so hot. It was like the hottest, angriest, most fucked up people. And you were like, this is the future.
Yeah, that's well,
what was
all,
the challenge?
It's like they
real
take,
world road rules.
They it was used real world, to take real world and road world rules people, and then they have different delineations, like it'd be boys versus girls, or like
new school
versus old school. And now they have these people that at one point were just like voted on.
Yeah.
And so if you watch now, it's a bunch of randos.
What is it called? The Inferno?
Yeah.
You get tossed in the Inferno.
And then it's like they fight in these challenges, but there's no backstory that I'm committed to.
No.
But they've been on multiple.
Yeah.
So these are just people that are now challenge stars.
I now feel like I see the same people on all these shows. Like, remember Mike the Miz?
Yes,
he was on all the time. What was it? Coral?
Johnny Bananas.
Johnny Bananas.
Coral, yes.
Yeah.
What's
his name? Oh, with the... Oh, man. I literally can only describe them as their physical attributes. I literally thought of CT as guy with the butt.
Oh.
Oh,
His butt was like...
One of them, Theo, is a comedian now, and his special's on Netflix, and it's not appropriate.
Oh, no.
He's a pranker, if you know what I mean. Not funny.
Not funny. We've already established how Janie feels about pranks.
She does not like pranks.
You guys, I didn't grow up with cable, so I never watched Real World.
You didn't grow up with cable?
Yes, I have a whole blind spot in my culture.
Are there things that you caught up with later?
Yes, absolutely. Like, especially when Flavor of Love and I Love New York and Charm School were in their heyday. Like, I was... going on business trips with my father, like was tagging along with my dad on business trips and just staying in the hotel like in the summer, and they would just play as marathons on VH1, and I would just get caught up on the entire season in one sitting.
We should say there's a staging of that episode of
that Janie is in.
I'm in that. I play Pumpkin's mom, Terry.
Oh my God, I mean
Born to Play.
You must
Born to Play.
Tell us exactly when that
so
is.
So this is Thursday, April
28th.
Makes
sounds
sense
right
to me.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And it's a live staging of a Flavor of Live episode where Pumpkin spits in New York City.
Yeah, oh, iconic
and
episode.
It's
really episode.
Fun. It's very silly. There's like a comedian and stuff, and I'm really excited for it.
Who is
and
playing it, New York?
I don't even remember.
Well, they have here's how they're doing it. They have, which I think is very smart, they have two people playing each person. One person for confessionals, one person for the actual.
Right. Like, okay, that's great. That's great.
I love a show that you both are involved in, Broad Gay.
Live on Broad Gay.
A live version of Sex and City, which I was thinking of when you said you didn't grow up with cable, because you understand Sex and City.
Exactly.
And that's like, you inherently understand the funniness and the silliness and the heart of it.
We got DVDs. And so I got caught up through, just, you know, I was lagging behind, but then I caught up on my
in
culture.
In college, did you catch up on Sex and the City?
No, in high school, like early high school, like my friends had the DVDs and we would just sleep over. I would sleep over at her place and then we would just watch all of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yes, did not grow up with culture on cable. So, but
rule number, I think, 55 of culture. It's on cable.
It's on culture.
Culture's on cable. And
I think
you need it. And actually, I think for our merch giveaway, you're gonna call in and we're gonna give you cable.
Call in and give, and we'll buy your cable plan for
it's a
5 years.
We'll get you a cable plan, but it only works for one of you.
One
and
of
that's
you.
The merch
we didn't
we
have merch last episode, but that's
no,
okay.
We didn't. But that's fine.
Yeah.
But so can I ask you, were you a Survivor fan? Because I feel like Survivor was like the first.
Yeah, I was totally on board. I was in love with Elizabeth, then Filarski, Hasselbeck.
Oh, and this must have been huge for you to watch
her
career.
Unbelievable.
I mean, she was America's sweetheart.
Right?
So funny.
I remember she was like a Puma shoe designer.
She was a Puma shoe designer. That is correct. She went to school in Boston. We loved her.
Boston College.
She was just so sweet.
Yeah.
And like strong, and we really liked her because she wasn't talking about politics.
Exactly.
So
and she,
was nice.
She really was just like very earnest, like very in it. Did you watch it?
I didn't watch
it. No, cable.
Survivor.
All right, so
it was on cable, but
she ended up coming in fourth place, and she was the last person from her tribe, which I actually remember was the Kucha tribe.
Mm-hmm. Kucha.
To make it to the end. And literally it was this thing of even the people that had the alliance against her didn't really want to vote her off. They were like, I'm sorry, you have to go because we have to make sure that we win, but like, God bless, we love you.
Yeah.
And then she actually stayed in Lexicon enough to like become what we now know as Elizabeth Hasselbeck,
which is crazy.
America's demon. She's the worst. I mean, she's truly the worst.
I know. But I did like her on The View because
she
provided a somewhat complex contrarian opinion to the liberals on the panel, and then they just throw on these idiots now, and it's like, but we talked about this last year, the same problem, which was like they just got rid of any sort of intelligent discourse on the show.
But who is that Republican that they brought, that conservative that they that brought on during the reboot?
Nicole Wallace.
She was great,
but now she's on MSNBC every now and then, and I just want her to stop talking.
Well, really? I actually find her to be like a really, really smart, reliable source. And I actually think she's very clearly conservative.
Yeah.
But I think she provides like helpful input.
Sure.
And helpful analysis. Yeah. And I just wish that they would have let that be more what she did on The View. But you could tell they kind of gave her these... I guess you have to be able to talk about everything.
I guess, but no, I think, but I agree with what Janie's saying, which is Elizabeth Hasselbeck was someone who was, you didn't agree with her ever, but she was so compelling.
Yeah, she was compelling.
She's
a
very, very good presence and a good anchor for that panel.
She definitely is a star, that's for sure. I mean, in terms of her personality, like, she was since Survivor, like, you loved her.
Yeah.
And then when it came out that she, like, believed what she believed, I was disappointed, but like... I got the sense most of the time when she was on The View, which, by the way, I mean, I'm sure, like, were you a huge fan of The View?
I didn't really watch it that much.
So when it was the 2008 election, that was the show that I got for my, like, election coverage. Mm-hmm. I watched The View. Like, I would come home from my classes, because at NYU, I had, like, a schedule. It was, like, 8 a.m. to 10:45 a.m.
Oh.
And I would run back to campus and flip on The View and eat, like, a Dunkin' Donuts bagel. And I would listen to see what was up with the election.
That's all you needed.
And honestly, you had like Elizabeth Hasselbeck like repping John McCain, and Sherry
Shepherd was undecided.
That's
insane.
Crazy.
It was insane.
And then I remember the day after the election, after Obama was elected, she was like, I got in the booth and I had to do it. And I had to turn to my son and say, no limitations. And I'm like, yeah, I mean...
Sherry?
Yeah, definitely. Sherry, she claimed to be undecided all the way up
then
until she got
Obama.
In the booth.
Yeah.
She voted for Obama.
Yeah, okay, yeah, but she was undecided.
Well, she also thought the world was flat.
She did think the world was flat. And, like, honestly, honest mistake.
Sherry, do you think the world is round?
I don't know.
I would have to do my research.
Feed my children.
Yeah. yes. Yes.
Oh my God. Unforgettable.
I'm thinking about how to feed my children.
That's unforgettable.
That's classic television
it's
right
classic.
There.
And not on cable.
Not on cable.
Not that.
Don't judge me.
Okay. I'm not.
Also, see, you're judging me.
I will
me.
Say that when we were growing up, cable wasn't as important. Because most things that I got were not on cable.
I agree. Yeah.
I actually, contrarian opinion.
Okay,
I thought
contra.
That like everything was on cable.
A little bit. Well, I was like
Nickelodeon and all that shit when I was little.
See, yeah. I don't know when anyone brings up fucking like
all that.
All that I barely watched. I remember watching The Amanda Show for the first time at a friend's house and me being like, who is that girl? She has my life. Like, I want that life.
Yeah, I know. She was great.
Did you read a lot?
I read a lot.
That reads.
I drew a lot. Thanks, Matt. And then I...
Waste of time.
Waste of time. Truly did not enrich anything.
No.
But then I... what was I going to say? Oh, but I feel like my... So what filled that hole for me was Simple Life. I was obsessed with
Simple Life.
Oh my God, I love that.
Wasn't
shit
on cable,
too.
But it was such good reality
TV.
It was
really good. You look at the editing now, and it's insane. It's like boing. Every scene is like 50 sound effects. It's so over the
top. So funny.
But at the time, we were like, yes. And like Newlyweds was the same. There's like crazy editing in these shows.
I really liked the Newlyweds. And can I tell you which one I really liked was the Ashley Simpson show. In fact, I was a full-blown fan. I saw her twice in concert.
Oh, you liked her.
Oh, I liked her.
I didn't know that about you.
Oh, I was a big fan. I like huge.
Like Matt.
Like
Matt's
I wrote a paper.
Oh my God.
In high school, after she was on SNL, about how we needed to leave her alone because I had seen her in concert and she sang live in concert. I guess
you're her Chris Crocker.
I was like, recording.
All right. So this is a little bit. This is so funny. So recently I did. This is like 8 months ago. I did the Rose to your 15-year-old self.
Uh-huh.
Have you guys both done
yes,
that?
Yes,
I've seen
done
it.
That.
Okay, you must. It's such a fun show. Elise Morales. And I wanted to get this picture that I took at the Ashley Simpson concert because Jessica Simpson was there.
Okay.
And I got a picture with Joe Simpson. It's me and Joe Simpson.
Their gay father.
Their gay dad. And it's too good now.
You
I
have
thought
a photo
this,
with Joe
I have a photo
Simpson.
With me in a track jacket at the and my spiked hair with highlights at the Ashley Simpson concert, and Joe Simpson has his arm around me.
How old were you?
I was 15, 16. Because this was like height of like rock pop. It was like all the biggest pop stars were like Kelly Clarkson, Ashley Simpson, Avril Lavigne. It was like when the Lindsay Lohan had a recording career.
Good Charlotte. Yeah. It was like rock and, yes. and pop were the same thing.
The whole kind of thing. That was when it wasn't about dance. It was about guitars on pop.
Is this before or after you loved OAR?
This is like months before.
Is this a callback to another episode?
It is. Because everything happens from Matt at concerts.
Let me tell you. It almost did. It almost did happen
from
Matt at this concert. I mean, who knows?
It's true.
But like, honestly, that picture would have been so good to show at my roast. And my ex-girlfriend from high school is the only one I could get the picture through. Because it was on someone's OPhoto account, which let that take you back.
I didn't even
use that.
It was like, with the way you shared pictures, because Facebook wasn't a thing,
and there was no Flickr,
and there was like nothing.
There was no Shutterstock, and I was
like, and I literally felt like such an idiot. I was like, does anyone know the OPhoto password? They were like, no. I was like, all right, well, this Joe Simpson picture is just gonna live in the ether somewhere.
There's
but
no
it is
hard
out
copy?
There somewhere. No,
oh, what a shame.
It just existed in that period of years where it was like you didn't. There were no hard copy pictures, but also Facebook wasn't keeping track of everything, so that one's just gone. But what a good picture!
What a good picture! You have to draw it at least.
You should draw it.
Sit down, like, draw with my memory. I'm sure it's a vivid enough memory. Man. But knowing how gay he became.
Yeah.
Well, Matt, you've joked about going to Ashley Simpson concerts, but you've written this
into
sketches.
No, I've been to two.
I didn't know this was actually your reality.
No, I've written this, like, beat into sketches.
She had two tours?
She had, like, more than... She had, like, several tours.
Wow.
I went to see Ashley Simpson post the SNL thing, which I was watching live.
Wow, you were like there for her.
I was watching live with SNL.
I was watching live too.
Yeah, and
in college on a Saturday, by the way, just so we're clear on what I was doing.
Yeah, I mean, I was fully at home on a Saturday too, listening, watching to it, and I was like, what just happened? It wasn't clear what had happened.
Yeah.
But I remember, like, the next day the scandal came out, and when she came out at the end of the show with Jude Law and was like, my band started playing the wrong song.
So I did a hoedown.
And I was like, she's so funny. And then, like, the next day everyone was like, lip sync scandal.
I love that.
I can't believe it. And then remember when she did the Orange Bowl? And the whole stadium booed
her? That's really sad.
She got it rough, and I did see her in concert. Not once, but twice after that.
Can someone like that live comfortably off residuals? Like, is she okay, you think?
Well, let me tell you, I saw her years later at a bar that I worked at.
Oh.
Yeah, this is like in 2013 or something. Like, a couple of years ago, I worked at this bar in the financial district, and she stumbled in, like, so drunk.
Oh, no.
And she already had been, like, a mom at this point. I had gone through her divorce with the guy from Fall Out Boy, Pete Wentz,
yeah.
And, yeah, she didn't look good.
Aww,
she went in the bathroom for like an hour, which we can guess what might have happened. But she was like, I was like, I used to pay to see you in concert. I used to like love you.
And now you're watching her.
Like, and now I'm watching her like at like 2 o'clock in a bar in the financial district, like fall over herself and like not know how to get to the bathroom. It was really awful.
That's so sad.
Yeah. But I mean, I hope she's okay.
I hope she's okay too.
That family is such a mess.
Yeah. Family's a mess. Yep.
Who knew that would become what that family?
Jessica Simpson was on a red carpet like within the past year, just was
drunk.
Totally hammered, and it was funny, but it was a little worrisome. It was like, oh, maybe things aren't going well.
But there was a time when remember when she was like J-Lo level?
Yeah.
There was a time when she was a mogul, and now I guess she still has like
shoes,
millions and millions of dollars. You know, my mom is a hairdresser, and she says that the Jessica Simpson hair extensions are the best in the biz.
Well, there you go, quality. Yeah.
Megyn Kelly uses them.
Wow, I said, endorsement.
I said, when all the Trump and Megyn Kelly shit was going on, I'm like, I'm sorry, the star of the show was not either of them. It was the Megyn Kelly Jessica Simpson hair extensions.
Oh,
am I
that's
right?
That's right.
She looks good.
She looked good,
she looked
and
great.
That's what's important.
She looked good. I get it. I was on Megyn Kelly's side. I mean, for real. Which, like, sure, but like, I guess like in that situation, like, what good side was there to be on? But like, Megyn Kelly didn't do anything wrong.
Sure. Well, now they're good old pals.
Are they? Has the hatchet been buried?
She's interviewing him very, very soon, and it's supposed to be very cordial and loose or whatever.
Well, that'll be messy TV.
I mean, it's sad. We're talking about 2016 and I love it and everything, like 2016, yay. But you talk about the pop culture of the past and you're like, oh, what a fun time we had.
I know. I know. It was so fun.
It was fun.
And now it's like the culture that's like shaking the world right now is Beyonce Lemonade. And it's like, is it fun? No, it's
fun.
Art.
It's not fun.
It's not fun.
It's like, I wouldn't describe it as fun. I would describe it as actually distinctly scary.
Yeah. We're not really going back anytime soon, I feel.
No,
I don't think
we're
going back to fun.
Swing at some point, but yeah. Not right now.
I think right now we're in nightmare pop.
Yeah.
I actually had to cover my eyes a few times during Lemonade.
What?
I thought something was going to happen.
Well, we'll talk about it.
That long scene where they're going down into the basement, and I was like, what is this? And like, I don't know, like she'll just randomly cut to like a shot of like some chains hanging from I don't know. Yeah. I thought it was very scary. It was reminding me of The Ring. I was this is terrifying. But yeah, we'll get to Lemonade because this episode is about Lemonade. But we must touch on Drag Race.
We'll talk
about reality TVs. Okay, so Janie is an episode behind, so I guess we're about
it doesn't
to,
matter. We
I guess
can
we're
do
gonna
it
break
all.
Some
Let's
news
do it,
to you.
Please.
So
you'll
just,
get a live reaction on air.
It was a 90-minute long episode.
Yeah, it was long.
The challenge was the yearly balls that they have.
Uh-huh.
So last season it wasn't technically a ball, but it was the Hello Kitty challenge. They had to do two looks.
Got it.
And do a voiceover that described their character. And the season before that it was the glitter ball. And then it was the sugar ball. So anyway, so this season's was the book ball in honor of guest judge David Sedaris.
Oh, I love him.
Amy Sedaris was there, too.
And Amy Sedaris was the other guest judge. And to pay homage to her, they had to stage like a lip sync number to a Jerry Blank inspired. Well, Amy Sedaris just sang a new original song about,
and they were all dressed as Jerry Blank and like did a dance number, and it was
it's incredible. For us.
It was for us.
I said, you put up a status today that was like, "Hi, just so you know, anyone that can't get on board with Drag Race today, they did a Strangers with a Candy Jerry Blank dance. So congratulations on missing out on the best television show
That's
of all time.
The best thing I've ever heard."
Yeah, we were at a bar with Josh Sharp, and when they broke when RuPaul on the show broke that to the girls, she was like, "And you'll have to do a choreograph." Lipstick number to Strangers with Candy.
Yeah, they, we were like,
we
the whole
jumped up
screamed.
In the air, and then Josh Sharp texted me today. He goes, "I will never experience the joy of knowing
it was cathartic
of knowing it will be a Strangers with Candy challenge." It
right?
Was, yeah.
But anyway, so how it went down was they had to do the book ball, and they had to do the first look, which was baby drag realness. Mm. It had to tell a story.
Yeah.
So like the first one was they kind of came out as like baby versions of themselves, and it was like narrated as if it was a book. And then the second one was
That's my mama realness.
Well, they had to pay homage to their own mothers.
Aww.
Yeah.
And then the third one was
autobiographical
eleganza.
Extravaganza.
Yeah. It was like, and then like you come out like, and he had to use all books to make your outfit.
Wow.
Yeah.
So love defacing books. So.
Kimchi.
I'm on board.
Very Fahrenheit for 51.
Yeah. Yes. And it was all like RuPaul's books, of course. Like
of
the whole
course.
Time. Like when they were interviewing the judges, they were all like, the author of this, David Sedaris.
That's so funny.
The author of this. And RuPaul was
Michelle
like,
Visage is like, can I
book?
Put my book?
The
and they're
Diva
like,
rules.
No, Diva Rules.
Was
Diva.
Featured.
Was it? Oh.
But anyway, Kimchi won.
Oh, good because for
Because she's
Kimchi.
Just like such a... artist.
And there was a through line in all of her looks.
Yeah, and she was the only one to do that.
Of all those queens, like, that's the person I trust to, like, make a dress.
Totally.
Yeah,
to do
yeah.
one of those interesting looks like that.
Well,
so.
Naomi Smalls looked amazing on the runway, too.
Chi-Chi Devane looked incredible.
Chi-Chi Devane,
they're
like,
all
just
great.
Turned it out. Her That's My Mama look was amazing.
Oh, wow.
And Bob had been giving the challenge to go ultra glam.
Uh-huh.
And I think during the construction of his dress, it fell apart. And so he had to go out with a short dress, and... So he was in the bottom two with Derek, who tried to like
do
change
a little
up her makeup.
Peplum corset. Oh, yeah. And then all the girls were like,
let me tell
like,
you, as a woman, peplum's never a good choice.
Well, there you go. But then all the girls were like, you need to block your eyebrows. You need to change your eyebrows because that's just making you look like Britney no matter what. And Derek was like, okay, fine.
But I don't know how to do that.
Right, and so they were trying to give her all these tips, but then she ended up looking insane.
Horrible.
Good.
And then her drag looks for the runway didn't even make sense for her. That for her baby drag realness, she came out dressed as Ariel. Like, that's not a baby.
It's
and
not
then
a baby.
It was so clear. And then the lip sync was between Bob
and
Derek. And Bob sent Derek right
oh,
home.
Oh, thank you.
I know.
Derek was coasting.
But then there was like an emotional moment at the end where Bob turns to Derek and was like, I respect this person.
Bob has been such a star this whole time.
I
like
know.
Really star. Every single challenge. proven what kind of star.
And so you said before we got to the air that you kind of, you're very disenchanted with the show because Thorgy is gone.
Yeah, I love Thorgy. Yeah. I just, like when I saw Derek stay and Thorgy leave, I was upset. I know that was not a great episode
for Thorgy.
And like, I get it. But yeah. You know what?
If Thorgy had stayed on for this challenge, it would have been very intense for her to do her mother.
Her mother passed away. Yeah. So that would have been,
really hard.
Honestly, I bet the producers were kind of banking on some of that because they always do that. They have like one part that's emotional in the episode.
It's all very convenient. Oh yeah, I mean everyone got a sob story this episode.
There were several instances in this episode.
The sob stories are always so incredible in that show.
I mean, this one was exceptional. Okay.
Naomi has a great moment.
Wow. Bob has a great moment.
Wow. Which you never see that.
Kim has
a great. Like, they all have it such great moments.
I can't wait to watch it.
You must.
It's been a great season. I don't mean to.
Oh, so great.
I just, when it was up, and then I have to watch them online, and then it was up at like, 2 a.m. and I'll wait.
Yeah. You'll conk out.
Okay.
But great episode.
And the top four
is the best top four of all time.
It's a great top four.
People of color.
Yeah. Great.
Wonderful.
Three, and all really different.
All very different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so exciting.
I think it's a true toss up. Like, I obviously have my allegiances to Bob, but what I was saying today was I would be kind of thrilled to see Chi Chi win.
Or
I
Kim.
Love Chi Chi. Yeah, I love them all. Them. They're all great.
I think Kim is like so set. Mm-hmm. I think Kim is like set for life, and I really think Bob is set for life. I think Chi Chi winning would like change her whole
everything.
Life.
That's true.
And I think, needs the money.
Therefore, I might be pulling for her just because I know that Bob and Kim are fine.
Yeah.
It's like a true earned underdog narrative where it's like, no, like you have grown so much.
Yeah.
You deserve this. You've exceeded everyone's expectations of you. Like, you deserve this.
Totally.
Well, anyway, speaking of us deserving this.
Oh, my God.
We deserve everything.
Let me tell you, where were you when Lemonade happened to you?
I was at a show at the Annoyance Theater, and then immediately when it got out, I ran to Vanessa's Dumplings, got a to-go order, took an Uber home.
He did not stay to eat the dumplings.
Did not stay to eat the dumplings.
Take him to go. Take him to go.
I pulled out my, and the reception at Vanessa's was not good, and I kept trying to download my HBO Now app. Kept trying to log in
on mobile using your data
on
all
mobile use. Oh my God, what sacrifices I made.
Sacrifices.
So then when I got in the car, I finally loaded it up and I watched about half of it in the car. Not half of it, like 20 minutes of it in the car. Got out, ran up to my apartment. My roommate was using the TV. I said, Mike, I have to watch this. It's really important that I watch this. And he understood. He obliged. And then I watched the whole thing.
Did he watch with you?
He watched parts of it with me, and then he left. And then he left to go to his girlfriend's house. But I was, and I filled him in. I was like, well, so far, the narrative is that she's been, Jay-Z's cheated on her. And, and he was like, wow. And so then we watched. And then right at the point where she's sort of starting to forgive him was when my roommate was like, it kind of takes the bite out of the message of fuck you for cheating on me if you're going back to him. And I was like, no, I was like, Mike, don't say that yet. Like, let's just like, let me just finish this.
Finish
and then
it.
By the end of it, I had so many conflicting emotions.
Me too.
So anyway, that was where I was. What about you?
Well, funnily enough, I was, at a Tanya Harding Nancy Kerrigan Museum dedicated to the Olsen twins at this point, doing a candlelighting ceremony, channeling Shirley MacLaine to bring back her past lives.
Oh my God.
So everyone was,
I mean, yes,
doing
culture.
That, right?
Wait, the guy who runs that,
Matt Herkins,
his like cousin, her sister-in-law works at my office, and she,
oh no way,
is very sweet, but she will not stop talking about the Tanya Harding Nancy
Kerrigan. So if you're listening to this pod in the next week and a half, it's in Brooklyn. It's phenomenal.
It's now just for the Olsen,
for the Olsen twins.
Yes.
Yeah. I want to see the Nancy Kerrigan stuff.
So that stuff still exists, but it was in their hallway in their apartment. And so now they've rented out a really crappy pediatric medical center that makes it so funny because you go in and it's like a museum with gorgeous art. This woman, I think her name is Laura Collins. She paints the Olsen twins, Lisa Vanderpump, like these stars covering their faces.
Mm-hmm.
And they're gorgeous paintings, and they go for like $900 and people are buying them.
Sure.
Like, they're actually running an art gallery right now.
Great.
And there's installations, and they're the funniest. So they go through and they show you, and they're such charismatic, wonderful people. So it's a great experience.
Oh my God, that's great.
And they're not doing it for money. Like, they're just taking dollar donations if you have it. But
oh,
it's like
it.
All about just wanting to make it. And it's really fun.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so I was there. They had me do like a candlelighting ceremony to like rid the place of haters and toxins and so forth. And we watched Shirley MacLaine videos in the dark.
So
and
you were doing your own art at the time.
I was doing art. Yeah. It was just like the three of us. Like there was like no one there. Uh-huh. So then when I knew Lemonade was coming, I was like, I have to go home. But like I'm here and I'm like in the moment. So what do I do? I went home and I found out that my roommate was having people over. It was very loud. There was drinking. So I was trying to watch Lemonade and it was just like not right. And then when they left, I sat down and I watched it. And I feel like I was a little bit shaken. And I was also, the text had already come in with like the stuff.
Right. Yeah.
So
yeah.
It was, I was already, my perceptions were shaped before.
Sure. And are you, you're sad about that?
A little bit.
Yeah.
I kind of think I love the way that it felt like a tune-in experience, which we don't have that much anymore.
Exactly. Yeah.
And like all of our friends were going to be watching at the same time and talking about it and we were going to share it. So mm-hmm. I was like a little sad that I had it on delay and a little sad that people experienced it before me and like already kind of like telling me
I know
how to feel a little bit.
Yeah.
Not anyone's fault, but it was my fault because I had planned the... I had to do the candlelight.
Yes, sure. You must.
No true appointment television anymore.
It's true.
But anyway, Where Matt, what about you?
Well, I literally cleared the night.
Wow.
I was like, we're going to do this. Mm-hmm. Because I just remembered what Beyonce, the album, was to me. And I'm like, the fact that this could potentially be happening again, I was like, this could be... like the music that satiates me for like
another two years.
I know.
So like, let's do it. And let me tell you, I within 15 seconds, I knew this was good. Mm-hmm. That like amazing first verse of Pray You Catch Me, which like goes on so long and like doesn't necessarily have like a repetitive like pattern. I was like, this is amazing. Henry was, I was like, I turned to him. I was like, is this amazing? He's like, yeah, this is amazing.
Yeah.
And like every song was so good. And when it became clear that it was about that, woof.
I know.
I mean, I thought she surprised us so many times, but this was culture.
Now, here's my
culturista.
Question.
Culturista.
And you brought up a little bit. Uh-huh. I don't know if we want to wait to get into it, but I want to just ask
you
the
contro.
Let's go. There are the truthers who believe that this is all PR, that he didn't even, maybe he didn't even cheat, or that this was all a constructed story, and that he's, the proof being one, that he's making money off Tidal. Mm-hmm. So this whole thing is about him and how bad he is, and then you go download the album on his,
service.
And he makes money. And then the other thing being that like it just was so perfectly crafted that, and then she forgives him in the end, like, is that... all somewhat constructed.
I think that there's a lot of assumptions about the timeline of when she went through this. I think it's possible that she could have gone through this years ago.
True.
You know what I mean? She might not have known how to talk about something like this until much later. We don't know if he cheated on her in 2006 or 2014. We don't know if it's related to the Solange punching incident.
And Rachel Roy specifically.
Right. And like, who knows anything? We don't know.
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, in regards to whether or not she actually went through it or whether or not it's her actual experience, here's my perspective on it. We're like making that important. Why is that important? The art that she made, or whoever was a part of making it, it's incredible.
Yeah.
And like, we didn't need to used to justify, like, we didn't need to know what Janis Joplin went through to get Peace of My Heart.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? I just, it's this thing now where, because someone's a celebrity, which if you're going to put out music, movies, be on television, whatever, you're going to be a celebrity. It's like, because that's true, we have to, like, this has to be 100% fact.
Yeah, why does there have to be a purity test?
Right.
Or, like, why does it have to, like, there's, authenticity is such a stupid, irrelevant concept when it comes to something like this. Like, it's, I think, I mean, if we're talking about it, whether or not it's autobiographical, I think it's still so good.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still so... true to, I don't know, like that journey of like forgiveness or whatever. And some people say that it's equally about Tina Knowles,
right?
About how Beyonce's father cheated on her,
and just what she's seeing big picture, like the whole history of experience being a black woman in America. And it's not just about her, and in the end it's much bigger picture.
Right
So maybe it doesn't matter, like you guys are saying, if it's strictly true or biographical.
Yeah.
It could also just be a piece of art that we can take as a story and as extremely compelling totally. And beautiful.
And I think the fact that we're having this discussion means that it is so personal and mm-hmm. so, it's so well executed
yeah.
and it's performed so well.
Right.
She's
that
so
the fact that we're
it.
Debating it to this extent means that it succeeded on yeah. every level. And I think that it's shrewd of her to use her actual husband in the video and to show clips of her father and her as a child mm. because she knows that everyone knows who they are.
Mm-hmm.
She knows that this is for people that get the narrative or think that they could get the narrative. And it's just driving this thing home. And actually, like, I believe in and enjoy it either way because I believe as much as it's about her,
mm-hmm.
it's also about the experience of, and I obviously can't speak to this and none of us can speak to this, but I feel that Lemonade is about the experience of being a black woman.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think it's so great that it ends with Formation.
Yeah.
She's like, I've been through all this stuff. Many of us have been through all this stuff and we're still going to go on and be soldiers
yeah.
And we're going to be proud and we're going to get in formation.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's about the experience of being someone that's always tossed aside, even by the men in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something very unique to her perspective. And it doesn't matter to me whether it's 100% factual
sure.
or not.
And I think she succeeded in sort of underlining her thesis. I'm using such obnoxious language. But I feel like she was just trying to make a statement on how like misogyny and racism are at their most like powerful, even in the intimacies of a marriage.
Yeah.
And right, that,
like,
right.
And that's it. And like all those Malcolm X quotes were all just like super, super relevant and poignant. And I think, I think it's such a good piece of work.
It really is.
Anyway.
Like, this is the girl who was bootylicious.
That's what's
so
nuts.
And the fact that she's become this, it's crazy.
In such a short amount of time.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
not to diminish the value of those amazing songs that she did before Beyonce, which really
great.
Was a turning point.
Yeah.
And that visual album. I mean, I lost my damn
yep.
come on.
Mind. Wow.
yeah.
I'm still not okay.
No.
I'm still recovering.
I mean, that album was about something entirely different too, because
sure.
it was about really more sexuality and owning
yeah.
what sexuality really
isn't
is.
So funny. I was just telling my bestie, we're talking about Beyonce, and we're like, we were just debating whether she can have sex with her husband. Like the mm-hmm. debate last
yeah.
album was like, is she a feminist if she has sex? And it feels like that was so long ago. That was 2 years ago. It's like
yeah.
crazy how much
yeah.
we were holding her under that scrutiny. And now it's a whole different thing. It's
totally.
Always going to be something else. But she keeps evolving so quickly. It's so exciting.
It's yeah. great. It's so funny because people like Piers Morgan. Did you see what he said
about
it?
Oh, my God.
Yes. He's literally mad at her. For having, because she has thoughts and opinions about the fact that she is black.
Or specifically, like, he was mad about how she exploited all these mothers of these dead.
He's like, dumbest. Why is he still on TV?
Oh, exploiting the situation is literally what he does to everything.
To everything.
Because he's a commentator. He's a talking head. He exploits everything for his own personal gain. Who is he to talk?
He's an idiot.
Total idiot.
What is he doing? Crazy.
Crazy.
And honestly, like, to speak to something that like he's not intellectually or creatively capable of doing in any way.
I know.
like,
I know.
Yeah, he's the worst.
That sucks.
And like just everyone's, it just brings me back to the whole Super Bowl thing of hers. Like, oh, sheesh. Ah, what a hypocrite.
Oh
like,
my God. Wait a minute.
So nuts.
Can I tell you guys a story? I don't even think I told you this.
What?
We were doing a Story Pirate show at SiriusXM and we were in this waiting area. Like, you know, they put you back into this area with like some food and like and stuff. And
so
then,
Bowen and I we do shows for kids and we do shows on the radio. So we went to SiriusXM
mm-hmm.
and there's like a little
green room,
like a green room where people sit before they do the shows and they
right.
go on air for Sirius.
And there's a giant TV and on the TV was TMZ. And then there's a gentleman sitting on the chair next to us
mm-hmm.
and he's just like on his phone and he's this very stylish guy. And then I look at him and I recognize him. Like, I'm like, I've seen him somewhere. And then I turn it. And then on the TV on TMZ this is right after the Super Bowl. They're talking about, oh, is Beyonce anti-police or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then this guy is just kind of like shaking his head. and then right at that moment it clicks. He's the guy in the EXO video who's on the roller coaster with her. And he's Beyonce's stylist.
Wow.
So I recognized him and I go, hi, are you? And then at first I did some very sneaky Googling.
Oh, of course you must.
I was like, I need to get his name.
Yeah.
Like, I can't just be like, are you Beyonce's stylist? I just wanted to like pay him the decency to like call him by name. So I was like, are you? And I forget his name. I'm so sorry, you guys. But then I was like, are you this and this and that? And he goes, oh yeah. And I go, so you're Beyonce's stylist? And he's like, mm-hmm. And then everyone in the room, like all the other story pirates are like, what? And like right as this fucking missive against Beyonce was being aired on TV. And I was like, what do you think about this? And he was like, it's nuts. Like, it's not like, like he styled those women. He styled all those dancers.
Yeah.
He was like, it's a reference that's not a statement. Like he was like, I forgot what he said exactly, but he was just like, he didn't put too many words to it either. He was just like, he just didn't care. He was like, no, it's just ridiculous. Everyone's blowing this out of proportion.
That's so funny.
And he was there for a show like upstairs and I was really starstruck. I was like, you're in the fucking XO video.
I mean, also her style is
her
style.
I know, come on.
That's crazy.
He's a culturista.
He's culturista. I think what inspired me, first of all, about both Super Bowl performances for her was like, look how hard you can work and be so talented and you can do anything. Like, will nail it. Mm-hmm. Those are such, when I need inspiration, I watch those and I'm like, I can do it, even though I can't. Yeah.
Yes, you can.
You can. Jamie, you're going to, like, literally, your silhouette's going to light up in fire one day at the Super Bowl.
Do you know that is what I picture when I have to walk into a room that's high pressure? And I also walk around like that. I notice my stance is constantly, I'm like jaunty on the hip with the hand.
Do you stomp the runway on the streets of New York?
Oh, I stomp.
Yeah, I stomp the runway quite a bit, actually.
Quite a bit.
I do what was it, Chi-Chi who said that? I did a figure eight on them
gurus.
She
walks poodles around them gurus.
Walks poodles around
but
them
gurus. But here's Carrie Bradshaw. I strut. I'm a strutter. Oh, shut up, Carrie.
You know exactly what you're doing. No, I mean, you must be that.
I know. Yeah. She doesn't play down her intelligence or creativity for other people.
No.
She's going to come out and do what's right for her as an artist, and she's not going to worry, as far as I understand, about the idiots who are going to misinterpret things. Like,
right.
Lemonade is hard to interpret. And if you go through the lyrics of the song, they're loaded with meaning. And mm-hmm. the poetry, she's poetry.
Oh, my God.
Like, that's way more. It's a commercial release with Lemonade in Times Square and go to HBO.
Right.
And it's free for everyone. But she's not going to dumb it down. She's going to make us come to her level. And I'm so impressed by that.
Yeah. And this is something that I've been thinking about for a few days. And, like, I would really encourage everyone to truly look herself in the face and ask herself this question. Everyone who says, well, she's not writing those songs. She's not creatively involved in that. I want everyone to actually think, how much of the reason you're saying that is because she's a black woman?
I know.
How much of your inherent bias that you don't even realize is coming out because she's a black woman who talks with maybe a southern accent, who like maybe presents herself in a certain way? How much of your bias is causing you to say, well, she can't possibly be creative?
I saw some idiot, and I don't know how I'm Facebook friends with him, post right after Lemonade came out, oh, well, Beyonce came out with a great new album. We'll listen to her open her mouth and speak. And, and then he like commented on his own fucking status, like, she has three thoughts in her head total or something. Like, just
It's like, you know what, Kanye does this album, no one says that.
Exactly.
No. Everyone else does this album, even Taylor Swift. Like, she's in control of her product, and wow, what an amazing young songwriter. Can't believe how young she is. Can't believe how in control of
it's
her brand
crazy.
She is. When it's Beyonce, it's like, despite, you know, people spreading rumors about, you know, her poaching material or whatever, blah, 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 whoever, like, everyone's a genius and has the intel. Everyone has the scoop. But, like, you're saying this about really only her and, like, the only other woman in the industry who I can think of that people talk about that way, is who's on that level, is Rihanna.
Rihanna.
She obviously doesn't write anything. She doesn't do anything, blah, 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 blah. And it's just like, you wouldn't say this about...
It's really loaded.
Also, Beyonce is the hardest working woman in entertainment. I mean, there's no question about it.
And when her last album came out, she put out this series of like just these little confessional interviews that were really nice. And she was just so good in them. And she's just talking about making the album. And she's just so articulate and intelligent. And it's like, no, you guys are choosing. You guys are seeing what you want to see. And that, like, oh, well, she's just dumb. Like, which
also,
doesn't
she
even,
lets,
it's not
she
even
lets
relevant.
The work speak for herself.
Exactly.
I think like sometimes her interviews from the past haven't been great, but the work like really pops and says so much more.
Ugh.
And some people just also like aren't interview people.
Yeah, totally. I just think she doesn't feel comfortable doing that.
That's okay.
And like, I think if you actually look, like I remember years ago when she was on like a promotional tour for maybe it was like,
B-Day. Mm-hmm. And it was after that, and like her clothing line was coming out, her Tina Knowles clothing line was coming out. She was on all the talk shows with her mother.
Yeah.
You know, she, I just think she genuinely might not be that comfortable doing that. I remember years ago in the start of her career, they were trying to have her host like the VMA's red carpet and shit. It didn't seem right. Yeah. It didn't seem like she should be doing, but like,
and she looked
she
so
had
nervous.
A crazy manager that was her father that she eventually dumped, which was her decision.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I just don't know how much wool do you think is being pulled over your eyes? Like, is everything a conspiracy nowadays?
I know. I don't know. That's
well,
true.
Like, I don't know. I see a lot of similarities between her as someone who doesn't like the press, but as a hard worker with another female figure, but we won't talk about
it. We won't talk about it. I know what you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about.
I don't. And what are we talking about?
We're talking about Hillary.
It's
oh,
been
sure.
a big God. Week for women and a big week for women haters. Let's give it
Let's
up for the
Let's give it up
women
for women haters.
I mean, yeah.
Hillary was on a podcast off message on Politico, and it was such a good pod. She's so, this is the most relaxed I've ever heard her.
Mm-hmm.
And she was just like being real. She was like, listen, I'm not good at campaigning
yeah.
because I don't like to do it. And meanwhile, Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, she goes, they're so good at it because it's like music to them. Like they love to do it.
Yeah.
They love to campaign and get people together. And then she goes, and this is so important. And I'm sorry we're on this Hillary tangent, but
no,
she goes,
I don't care.
But she goes, for the longest time, she says, for the longest time, I had trouble saying making I statements.
Mm-hmm.
She had trouble making things like, I want you to vote for me. She would only ever talk. She was like, for the longest time, I would only ever talk in terms of we, in terms of us, in terms of, or I have no problem talking about he, she, it, us, whatever. But she had such a hard time like making it about her because that's just what she internalizes that over years and years and years of being a woman who's constantly scrutinized. Like she's not good at this because she doesn't care for it because it's not that important in the
it's
end.
Not right. natural
yeah
right
the campaigning is not natural it's not it, if it is you're very close to an egomaniac.
Yeah, look at the people who are great campaigners, not Barack, my love, but
love
I mean
Barack.
We're talking about like John Edwards and these like real
right?
creeps.
I
these
mean,
are like these people who can go up and command a room and speak, but they're also kind of narcissists.
Shady.
Think
yeah.
about the kind of people that go for that.
Yeah,
I mean
yeah.
you know what I mean. And you know, Hillary being at the level that she is a big symptom of her being closely related to someone that was good at that. I think it was late in her life that she maybe thought, maybe I want to run for office or actually be president of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know for sure that before being first lady, she was thinking that way.
Yeah.
I mean, this isn't some bullshit House of Cards scenario,
no,
I don't
know.
Think, which people really wanted to make it into that. But it's like, how much are you going to believe that everything is a conspiracy until you drive yourself fucking crazy?
It's true. It's true.
Same with the Beyonce stuff.
It is. It's and it's like you're threatened by someone who doesn't fit your idea of power, obtaining power, and you have to create another story around how they got there.
Yeah. Totally.
It's crazy.
And so what people are saying is that literally nothing that comes out of her mouth is genuine.
Right.
Why do you think she wants to be president?
Also, she does carry hot sauce in her fucking bag. That is true.
Yeah, there's a lot of like, why are we even talking about...
we don't have to talk
not,
about
not us. I mean, just, like, why are people upset about that? I mean...
Well, I mean, the rest of that interview that she did for that quote was, like, some host was, like, calling her out. They were like, well, are you trying to pander to black voters? And she was like, well, is it working? Like, she was nervous and... I don't know. She like again, she's not good at campaigning.
I mean, again, God forbid she make any joke too. I mean, it's like all of a sudden, like Joe Biden's the only politician who can have a sense of humor nowadays. Like,
it's so
like,
true.
It's just like ridiculous. Shut up. Again, I just want to tell everyone that's like talking shit about her to shut up. Like, just shut up.
You can support Bernie without dragging
you
her.
You really can.
Thing.
And you look so stupid. And I'm honestly, it makes me so mad to this point. Because now everyone posting these Bernie statuses, you're none of you are succeeding in doing it without dragging Hillary. And you don't really have that good of a reason. You're not backed up.
I know.
And it's crazy. And it's gotten so ugly. Like, shut
also,
up.
Also, Bernie voted in the prison bill that the Clintons pushed through Congress. Anyway.
I wonder if Hillary and... Will Beyonce come out for Hillary? I heard
she
threw a fundraiser for her last year.
Oh, I didn't
year.
Know that.
Yeah, but it was private.
I heard they were like recorded. There was a video that was taped of them that exists in the world.
Oh.
Maybe she'll wait till it's closer till the election.
To the general.
But, yeah.
Sure.
Maybe. I mean, I mean, Taylor Swift could never come out and support a candidate because I think she's got so many widespread fans. Yeah. If she were to come out and say she didn't support Trump, I'm sure she'd lose 40% of her revenue.
But here's my reason why you shouldn't vote for Trump. Like, whatever. Politics aside, okay, look at your supporters. You have Aaron Carter. Like, who else? I mean, it's just like gross people like that.
There was other ones too. I forget.
But
I mean, fucking Azalea Banks, who had a lot to say this week.
Azalea Banks is voting for Donald Trump.
Oh, good.
But she's also doing it for like burn the world reasons. But like, go ahead, Azalea.
Okay, then fun. We're having fun with that.
Yeah,
she's fun.
Omarosa.
Omarosa.
Oh, yeah. But I do love Omarosa.
You gotta.
There's the classic interview of Omarosa and Wendy Williams. You ever seen that interview?
Oh, it's incredible.
When Omarosa went on Wendy, ooh, that was the shade. That
Wendy
was the shade tree.
Called everything that. Oh, the shade tree. R.I.P.
That was the shade tree.
I'm the Lorax tree. Calling it out. Yeah. I'm saying we need the shade tree to live, and where is it?
Thank you, Shade Lorax.
I am shade the Lorax. I need shade another shade. The Shade Lorax. I speak for the shade tree. We need Wendy Williams talking about her. What a moment for her when that video came back of her actually talking about all the Jay-Z Beyonce stuff and being extremely accurate.
What did she say?
After the elevator, she was like, here's exactly what happened. And she talked about how at the Met Gala that Solange saw Jay-Z with Rachel and was very upset. And the reason why they were in the elevator is because, and she didn't do it, Beyonce didn't move, is because Beyonce knew that
there was a camera
and that Solange was right and didn't want to intervene.
My God.
And she called the whole thing. She said literally, like, shot for shot, here's why this is
Bravo
happening.
Bravo, Wendy Williams.
Wendy Williams. She's our Nancy Drew.
She's our Nancy Drew. And then Beyonce
incredible.
Got in the car with Solange and not Jay.
And she did. Yeah, that's a great video. His little face. You're just like, oh.
Rachel Roy. I had to design. I work at this company that sells home furnishings. And we get a lot of these partnerships with like fucking cannon fodder celebrities. but Rachel Roy was one of them. And we did an office makeover for her. And I had to design like... The hero.
So you
the
designed
web
spots for them to fuck.
So I designed.
This is all your fault.
I'm the architect of the affair.
I'm dropping this culture news brief. Bowen Yang
is Team Rachel Roy.
I'm Team Rachel Ray.
Well, I'm Team Rachel Ray too. Honestly, I want like a baked good.
That beehive is not as smart as they should be.
But
going
I think
after
it's
her.
Karmically, it's so satisfying because it's Rachel so Ray. Nice. Rachel Ray is apparently a monster.
I've heard that too.
Yeah,
the
I
Rachel Ray
all monster. I believe that Kelly Ripa is a monster.
I love Kelly.
I
Ripa.
Love her.
Can I tell you something? Okay. I've heard some shady shit about Kelly Ripa.
Have you?
My sister worked on that show.
Mm. And she says that she's amazing.
And she wasn't like she was amazing, but she was like, yeah, Kelly Ripa's very nice.
You know what? Maybe she's very nice.
I heard an account from my aunt.
This is a fun story. My aunt, my aunt and uncle have a good bit of money.
Okay.
And their daughter raced horses. She was like an equestrian.
Oh.
So she trained at this, I guess, equestrian school. And they were getting ready for like the competition.
Oh, you were telling me this story.
And so, like, Kelly Ripa's daughter also races horses, darling.
Oh, good.
And so, like, I guess they were two competing horse schools.
Sure.
And
horse
so,
schools.
Like,
yep.
All the moms are there watching like the meet or whatever. I guess it's like, what is it? The Derby. Let's call it the Derby. That's probably the right word for it, right?
Derby.
You know, the Derby.
The horse school.
By the way,
we
forgot to say we're wearing some brim hats. Speaking of Derby, Janie looks stunning in her hat.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
My head is so big that it's just like a thimble on a ball.
It would be a wrong thing if like it looked good because we all look ridiculous. Anyway, at the Derby, my cousin went to go and her horse went to go jump over like a hurdle, which is part of it. And the horse didn't make it over the hurdle, and my cousin got thrown from the horse and like for a second was like kind of unconscious.
This is just like the simple life.
Just yeah. The simple life. Oh my God, this is exactly
and the Olsen twins on that one episode of Full House.
Yes, it is.
It all comes back around. Let's go trace this. So basically, like, Christina, my cousin, was thrown from the horse and like hit her head and was like, I guess, unconscious for
oh
a minute.
My God.
And of course, my aunt is freaked out. And Kelly Ripa apparently made like a bitchy comment about that's why you don't train at like Wildwood or something.
Ooh.
I made up the name. But like, my aunt apparently
shade
turned
tree
around.
Is
shade tree
blowing in the wind.
But like, honestly, my aunt apparently turned around and gave her the business about like, her body. Like, you're too thin.
Oh.
Or something. Like, it like, went for, like, in a way that, like, those women would really not want to become for.
When in doubt, attack a woman's body.
When in doubt, attack a woman's physique.
You look disgusting.
You look thin.
Oh, my God.
That's crazy.
But, yeah, that's what I heard about Kelly Ripa. But also, she did appear to be very cool. Did you see, like, her address?
Today?
Yeah, she, like, went on. She went on, and, like, they gave her, like, a good solid 5 minutes to address the audience. And she seemed very cool.
She was very cool about it.
There's certain, like, couples that I keep in mind, hetero couples that I love to just, like, have them back in my head.
Consuelos.
And Ripa. Was that, like, offensive? I mean, like, no.
I don't know. You guys did it.
I did it, and I committed to it.
Bowen's like, I don't know. You did it.
It's on you to figure out.
I mean,
I'm fine with
followed what you did. Just kidding. We're all going down
today. I did an improv show for little kids, and I did what could potentially be, like, an offensive Latin accent, but, like, it's fine. It's
fun. But they ate it up.
They ate it. They loved it.
Wow.
I've done that accent on the UCB stage, too, and it was fine. I put, like, a European Bond villain. Uh-huh. I did, like, a Latin accent,
oh,
and it was fine. No one said anything to me. But honestly, I'm just going to say this. Come for me, culturistas. But the only accents I'm good at are ones that I'm not allowed to do.
Yeah.
That's
I can't do, like, any of the accents that...
Do them all right now.
That's Matt's lot in life.
That's my lot in life. I mean, I do them to Bowen, and he's like, okay, so the thing is, like, you should never, ever do that. And I'm like, okay. I mean...
What a curse.
I grew up on Long Island where everything was offensive and everything was also okay. So it's like, now I'm learning...
You live in that gray area.
You know, yeah, I live in that gray area. But anyway, guys, what's the favorite track on Lemonade?
Here we go. Oh, you know what? I just want to link Hillary and Beyonce one more time.
Please.
Okay,
both
please.
Stayed with their husbands, you know, after infidelity.
Yes, they did.
So,
and that's tough for me.
It's tough for me too. Because can I say something?
Please.
During Sandcastles in Lemonade in the film, I was
great song.
I was shocked when they cut to Jay-Z.
It was shocking.
It was maybe not earned.
Because
I'm gonna say
that's what I'm saying. Like, up until that point in the film, and I get that song was like the inflection point in the story, but I feel like up until that point in the film, it was all about a woman's journey through like these very Kubler-Rossian stages of grief and acceptance or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm looking through the track list right now to see what kind of precedes that.
Yep. It's Love Drought.
Love Drought.
Which is an amazing song.
Yeah, amazing.
I'll get to that later. But
So it's Daddy Lessons. So I feel like Daddy Lessons... So you have the whole first five songs, which are like... pretty angry.
Yeah.
Like, and it sets a tone. And then Daddy Lessons is like, well, let me look actually at my life and like how things have shaken out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I see what my father's done to my mother, and maybe I married into the same thing. And I feel like that's kind of where it's going. Love Drought, what is that song about?
It's like, I know you're lying, but why? Because you and I can move, we can move a mountain. We can calm a war down. We can make it rain on this love drought. Like, the lyrics are excellent. But I mean, yeah. So Sandcastles is like the turning point in the movie. And for me, yeah, it was unearned what Janie said. Like, it was all about, and I guess it's placed well. Like, I don't begrudge it of that. I don't think Jay-Z should have been in it at all.
I agree.
Cause it's about a woman's journey.
But he's part of her journey. He's a huge part of her journey.
I
actually, this is where I'm going to take a contrarian stance. I'm going to say, you know, this is about her first and foremost, but he is a part of her.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, it's up to her. She is empowered to make the choice to forgive. And I think that that in and of itself is really hard.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think, yes. And again, another brave thing about Lemonade is it opens her up to that criticism.
It's, I just love that we're talking about this in the first place.
Yeah, and that's why it's so great. It's because, you know, everyone has an opinion on what you do in that situation.
Yeah.
You either stand by your man or you fucking book it. And it's like, it is interesting to think about in the lens of Hillary, because there's those people like Carly Fiorina and other idiots that are like, listen, if Bill Clinton did that to me, I would have left him a long time ago. That's why you can't trust her. She's fucked up and can't make decisions for herself. And then those people... It was like mid to late 90s, mind you, where it was very stand by your man. And honestly, she's damned if she does and she's damned if she doesn't.
Yep.
Yeah, it's true.
And with everything in her life, but especially that. And now to think about this with Beyonce, yeah, we can be upset. We can be mad. And I'm happy that we're angry at Jay-Z and not Rachel Roy, because let's be mad at him.
Yeah.
Team Rachel Roy.
Team Rachel Roy Bowen.
I'm going to go out buy an expensive skirt.
There you go.
But the thing is, like, she's opened her up to herself up to this criticism, and it
that's brave. I mean, no, it's truly really brave. I'm not using that word.
Yeah, it always sounds sarcastic now because we've just ruined it. But
also, I just want to say one more thing about the Hillary thing, because I think another way to look at her is to actually look at her supporters, her really ardent supporters in government. There's an interview with Kirsten Gillibrand that James Folta posted and then I reposted, and this is really a good interview.
It's great.
Maybe it's an hour. And she gets really emotional several times throughout the interview, and she's really in Hillary's corner, and it feels so genuine, and this is someone that knows her. And I would just encourage people to kind of, like, check that out. Like, because, I really think we're at a point now where we're refusing to educate ourselves.
I know.
Or just see what the other
side is. One more person says to me, I'd vote for Elizabeth Warren, I'm going to slap somebody.
Here's the thing. Elizabeth Warren does not want to be president.
She's not running.
She will
for
never
president.
Run for president. No. And she this delusion people have that she's going to be chosen as the VP, let
happen.
It go. If she wanted to be in the White House, she would have made that decision. She's not going to put herself in a place where she's a heartbeat away from the White House if she doesn't want to be president.
And it's a very telling choice of her not to endorse either candidate.
Yeah, I think so too.
She would have endorsed Bernie ages ago if she was totally on board with him.
Yeah,
because she has her reasons not to be.
I think she genuinely is on I think she's on the right side of everything. And I think
love her.
I think. You can make the argument that both of them as candidates have flaws. I mean,
they're both insane.
She's the Solange.
Something really.
I feel like Elizabeth Warren's a Solange because she is right. She's passionate.
She's Solange and Wendy Williams,
and she punched Jay-Z. I made that up,
no,
but
remember?
Imagine if Elizabeth Warren.
Imagine.
No, yeah, imagine. Actually, rule number 90 of culture: Elizabeth Warren punched Jay-Z.
It's a rule.
Yeah, yeah. We actually are going to be creating here on Lunch Coast Reese a GIF of Elizabeth Warren punching Jay-Z.
I'll
and
make
it's
it happen.
Be
Good
all
luck
over.
Making that.
I think it's going to be it'll be incendiary. but yeah, I mean, the one thing that's really important to me in the election, and Kirsten Gillibrand gets really emotional about this, is guns. And I'm sorry, Bernie is not as good as Hillary on guns, and
no.
You can't convince me otherwise. I don't care about what you say about his NRA rating.
Trying to figure out who he'd be as a pop star, but it's not really translating.
Okay, we actually did this for a second.
Oh, you did?
For Drag Race? Oh, for pop stars.
For pop stars, I think.
Who did we do? I don't remember this.
Katy Perry is
Hillary.
No, I don't know.
Oh, really?
Oh, no, too fun.
Oh, no,
to be
no. Oh, no. Joel Kim Booster's done this. Hillary is Taylor Swift and Bernie is Carly Rae Jepsen.
That's insane.
See,
I don't see it at all.
I know Joel's giving the edge to Carly Rae Jepsen there, though, so I'm not totally on board.
Interesting. Carly?
Well, because, I mean, like, this was back when Joel was more.
Who's Trump? Rita Ora?
Trump is Rita Ora.
Make any sense.
This was back when Joel was more Bernie leaning and Joel was like standing for Carly Rae Jepsen and hating on Taylor, so for him it was very neat of him to
Trump
some
is
people
like three doors down
underdog just because.
What did you say,
Trump
Jamie?
Is three doors
three
down,
I'm here without you, baby,
just like, no, go away.
Do you know what song came out at work the other day, which is actually a jam?
Oh, what?
Kryptonite.
Oh, I hate that song.
Oh, yeah. No.
No. Not on board.
Crazy, no. Then will
disgusting.
You still call me Superman?
No.
I'm down.
No.
Reprehensible.
Awful.
I mean, maybe. Guys, look, we are nearing the end and we have to hit a couple segments.
Oh, yes.
Oh.
So, Janie, you're a fan of the show.
Yeah.
Our people that are fans of the show, we know we have one of our favorite segments. This is called
I don't think so, honey.
This is when we have put 60 seconds on the clock. And you have 60 seconds to rail against something in culture or something that's affecting you culturally in any way using the term,
I don't think so, honey,
as much as you can. And it should be impassioned and it should be a full thought.
Missive.
It should be a missive. Now, Bowen, do you have something that you want to talk about?
I don't. Do you? I think one of us should start so that Janie can see how it's done.
I think that one of us should begin, and I can go first.
You want to go first? Okay.
All right.
I'll put 1 minute on the clock whenever you start.
Okay. And I am ready.
Great.
I don't think so, honey. The F train on a Sunday night. Let me tell you something, F. I have to get home. And all of a sudden, it's like, it's after 7 p.m. on a Sunday and you're taking a break. Well, guess what? You work for me, honey. I don't think so. You don't get to take a break unless I say. I would rather you take a break, quite honestly, in the middle of the day, in the middle of the workday. We need you at these times. All right? You need to be there for me when I need to get home to 7th Avenue off the FG. And guess what? How come I have to transfer so many times to get home, honey? Oh, I don't think so. I'm tired of hopping to the A, to the C, to the B, to the F, to the G, to the C, T, 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 T. I don't want to, honey. I don't want to transfer no more. I don't want to be a player no more. Honey, you're too much. And how come I'm getting stuck? I want, when I'm in the subway next, they're going to say, who's going to stop this? And I'm going to say me. And then I want Fight Song by Rachel Platten to play. And I'm going to say no more MTV because I don't. Thanks, so honey.
That's 1 minute. Wow.
I think that really is going to change things.
But that was great.
You lost a little bit of steam towards the end.
I think I got more firm.
You got more firm.
I think I got stronger, and that was really good.
I like when you just went like, "What? Why do I get stuck?" It sounded like Whitney.
Why do I get stuck? Oh man, Whitney.
That was great.
Wow. Come on, Bowen. I had to think of one on the spot. I had to speak from the heart.
Okay.
I'm a little disappointed with my
that's great.
But like, I have a similar one. Well, no, I don't. Oh, wait, stop. I really don't.
I can do one.
All right.
You want to do one?
Janie's still ready.
I don't want to steal yours. All right.
No, you go.
It is time, and it begins now.
I don't see the time. I'm like nervous.
All right, hold on. Okay, I'll start it over. Here we go. And go.
I don't think so, honey, to the current state of brand integration on the Housewives franchise. Because it started out with Bethany, and she knew what she was doing. Even before she knew what she was doing.
Right. Uh-huh.
She built Skinny Girl into a $110 million sale to Jimmy on her own. She was hawking muffins in a grocery store season one of Real Housewives New York. Now we get these women thinking they're so savvy. We see through all of it. I'm not buying your rock that you say is a jewel.
No.
I'm not buying your toaster oven that's going to set my house on fire, Sonia. No. I'm not buying the third iteration of a drink now called like Tipsy Girl.
What?
I see through you.
Yes.
And I'm sorry, I'm also not buying the Bravo sponsorship with Soul Cycle where you go to Habitat for Humanity afterwards. I'm on board with Habitat, and I think it cheapens their brand and their integrity. Soul Cycle should be ashamed of themselves. I think that they should be ashamed of themselves for many reasons, but one of them is that they are horrible, and I don't think so, honey.
What? 1 minute is up. Wow, you did it.
You did it,
honey. I think that, and you know what? Truly attacked culture.
It attacked culture.
Thank you so much.
I think now people are going to be more aware.
Yeah.
Because I mean, I don't know that everyone has really thought about the spiraling out of control.
Sometimes your tears baptize your pain and your suffering. A la Beyonce, sometimes it's just having a minute on the clock and just saying
whatever
anything.
You want.
Yep.
Oh, my God,
that's
Janie.
That's cleansing.
You know what? Yes. But you and me could start a love drought, I think.
Right? Are you doing one?
I'm doing one. Okay. I'm still stumped.
Well, Bowen, I don't know what to say. I don't think so,
honey. All right, okay.
I don't think so, honey, Bowen, yet.
Honey, I've got something.
All right, here we go.
I don't think so, honey, people who keep squatting in meeting rooms and conference rooms right after they've been booked, well past their booking time. I cannot hover outside and be a vulture for you and just wait and shoot you, you know, mean eyes and say, well, you know, it's time. And then I have to be, the onus is on me to open up the door, crack it open and peek in and be like, hey guys, we have the room. I don't think so, honey, because you know what? It's not on me. It's on you.
Talking about
keep
rehearsal
track
rooms.
Of time. Rehearsal rooms, conference rooms at work and your office. Office or anywhere, you know, any kind of scheduled space, you cannot hold the space for longer than your allotted time.
Because you say, this is done.
This is done. Excuse me. This is my, I don't think so, honey. I don't think so, honey, Matt Rogers. I don't think so, honey, people who cut into my space, who take up space for designated space for me. This is exactly what is wrong with society.
We have society that runs on rules.
Janie, you do not take up space for me. I don't think so, honey, Janie. And that is 1 minute, honey.
Honestly, you were the culture being under attack there, I think.
I truly was.
I think that Bowen Yang is a huge part of culture. And I think that I attacked him. I think that Janie attacked him.
Absolutely.
I think that's how you know it's worth talking about.
You proved my point.
We did. And you peeked your head out and you said, not right now.
But listen, I know, because this is the opposite. I had the conference room, but you two were the ones who peeked your head in when you did not have the room booked.
Honey.
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Well,
I think
all of our clocks are set at different times.
You're right. Someone's time up is not your time up. Wow. Unless you have the universal clock, honey.
This is a victim clock blaming scenario.
You're ridiculous.
You're all filthy tonight.
You're all filth.
You're just disgusting.
I hate you.
Just wears the shade.
I hate you.
Can I just say,
I hate you.
Matt Rogers.
I hate Bowen.
I hate you. I hate Jamie Solar.
I hate our producer, Joe.
I hate Joe.
I hate everything. No, we love it. Actually, guys, it's
Janie's,
time.
Janie's really, truly affected. Truly,
oh, my God.
What do you have to say?
I thought this was a safe space.
It is. It is. Can I tell you, that was all a bit. And also now, thank God. Woo, bit sigh of relief. Also, and I just want to say, it's time to do Culture of the Week. So this is when we choose our favorite culture, Joe. Our favorite culture of the week.
The best thing that's happening in culture this week for you.
Yeah, aside from Lemonade?
Besides Lemonade, which this is going to be a tough task.
I know. But, how do you top a Lemonade?
So I think you can listen to me and Bowen's Culture of the Week, and then you can make a decision for yourself. I actually know right away what I'm going to say.
Go ahead.
You know, my Culture of the Week are on-ride photos at Disney World.
Disney Photo Pass.
Disney photos. Fine. And I think, you know, it's so amazing what you can do when you're on a ride at Disney in terms of enjoyment, in terms of experience. But what's really incredible is what you can take home with you, aka the merch.
Yes.
And so this is not only just merch for the sake of having merch, which, of course, that's why it exists. Rule number 183 of culture, merch is merch.
Merch don't is merch. Question don't the question the merch.
So, like, yeah. And I think now you have a visual memory. I'd like to hearken back to a time when we were on Rock and Roller Coaster, and we got a truly a great picture taken
it
of
was
me,
a
you,
great
and David,
photo.
Our guest last week. It was a wonderful photo, and we were able to buy it. And I think that was so smart of Disney to sell something.
Yes.
Because as you know, and I just would like to really caution everyone, don't spend your money anywhere else but Disney. They need your money.
Disney
you know
needs
what?
Your money.
Pranks aren't funny. Photos on roller coasters, funny.
Hilarious. Hilarious. That's so funny. And also the different kinds of faces that you can do in the pictures.
They're fun.
You can do a serious face.
Yep.
You can do a really big over the top face.
I've seen people do sexy faces. And there aren't. Where it's like, I just want to see funny face.
Funny faces. I want to see more funny faces in these photos. I want to see more faces of all kinds. I want to see you buying these on-ride photos.
You know what's funny?
Do the right thing with your money.
Knowing when. In the roller coaster or in the ride, the camera is.
It's so fun to know.
To know
it's
it.
It's so fun to know that.
100%.
So that's my culture of the week.
That's great.
Photographs that you can buy at Disney World, on ride photographs.
Great.
Bowen? Amazing. Well, my culture of the week has to be the ice cream parlor in the Magic Kingdom of Disney World.
Yeah.
Explain to our
listeners.
Listen, when they're trying to, you know, shoo away all of the patrons and guests at the Magic Kingdom, you know, the ice cream parlor bravely stays open until about 1:30 a.m. And I believe when Matt and I went with our friend David, as we were making our exit from the park, the ice cream parlor was open and they serve you a variety
of...
There are so many flavors
so
of
many
ice cream.
Flavors of
first,
ice cream.
Let me say. In the world.
In the world. And at the ice cream parlor. And there are a variety of cones, whether it's waffle or sugar.
Oh, my.
You can get your ice cream on a waffle cone, on a sugar cone, on a wafer cone.
On a wafer cone.
Or in a cup.
Or in a dipped cone. Or in a plain cup. That's right.
Now we're talking.
You can eat your ice cream with a spoon. You can eat it just with your mouth.
You can eat it with...
No one's going to judge you.
Absolutely.
And it's at Disney World.
It's at Disney World, which is the best part.
I love that.
Yeah. So, Janie, what is your culture of the week?
My culture of the week is at Disney World.
Yes.
When you are looking for something to do in your room and you've had a nice day, you can look at this Twitter account that's just called Everything Goats.
Everything Goats. What
it's
is it?
It's just pictures of baby goats. And I think goats are the new... cat/dog, like they really have.
I think you're right.
Absolutely.
It started with the screaming goat.
That's what it is.
Yeah. You know what? It was dogs and cats, and then for a second, it was such a small window, but little tiny miniature pigs.
Yes, they had a moment. They scared me a little.
A little scary.
They seemed unhealthy.
Yes.
They seemed like forced.
Their metabolisms are probably very abnormal.
Yeah, abnormal. They cannot tolerate gluten, etc.
Exactly.
But the goat is something else. The goat is adorb. It runs sideways. It screams at inappropriate times. It eats things. Some people have them in their homes, which raises so many questions.
Right.
Loving goats.
Love
and there's
goats.
A great Twitter where it's just like, it's like haters... go to hate, and it's a goat wearing sunglasses. So at Disney.
That. Is it haters goat to hate?
Now I'm thinking that doesn't make sense.
Janie, where would you place everything goats? Everybody goats? Everything goats.
I want it to be everybody goats.
Everybody
but
goats.
I think it's
everything goats.
100% goats. I'm not quite sure.
Got anything it. Goats. The world has gone goats today and goats bet.
Anyway, so is this.
I just want to do a shout out. a Disney shout out to Brady O'Callaghan.
Brady O'Callaghan.
Who's living his goddamn life on this vacation. And thank you for doing it without an ounce of irony. He's posting such great photos from his trip.
Fun.
Here's so some other, fun. Other people in the community who just fully, earnestly embrace Disney. Brady
Michael
O'Callaghan,
Hartney.
Michael Hartney, Jason Gore, Kristen Bartlett.
Rachel Chapman.
Love them.
I'm uninitiated.
Oh, really?
Have you never been?
When I was... baby.
You must
so
go back.
I feel as if maybe there's like a huge Disney trip to be taken. I mean, like, maybe we must.
And
we
then we'll do go. A series called Four Nights in Orlando.
Four Nights in Orlando.
Oh my
too.
God, the sequel!
Which
oh my
is
God.
My favorite Instagram series.
Thank you, Janie.
Thank you, the favorite of many. Oh man. Well, gosh. I mean, this has been such a fun episode. We talked real.
Fantastic
we talked
episode.
Fun.
Well,
you know what? That's
we
what
talked goats.
It's we talked goats. Culture is all about shaking it up, getting a little bit real, having a little bit of fun, and making sure we all take it the same amount of seriousness. Right?
So yes. Eloquently put.
It's so eloquent.
So eloquent put. And listen, when you have a reel, when you have it fun, you got to take it with the same seriousness. All right, guys. My thanks and Bowen's thanks to Janie Stolar.
Thank you, Janie. So
and I really want to, because are you at Janie Stolar?
I'm at Janie Fierce.
Janie Fierce.
It's a Sasha Fierce reference.
Yes, I mean,
absolutely.
Yeah, of course.
That,
which is why you earned your spot
thank
on this
so
particular episode.
This lemonade episode.
I just stand for the hive.
I really want to plug two things. Lemonade, the new album by Beyonce.
Check it out. If you haven't heard of it, it's real cool.
Real
and
great.
A spank going up this Friday, Murder by Spirit Stick.
Murder by Spirit
which
Stick.
Which I co-wrote with my good friend Carly Ann Philbin.
Yes.
And Bowen Yang features in it.
Great. Featured.
And it will be up at 6 p.m. at UCB. What do you want to plug?
I want to plug, oh gosh, I don't have that much to plug. Oh, well, if you're in LA on May 10th, I will be hosting an old variety show of mine called Ethnic Realness
with
my
Oscar
very
Montoya.
Good friend Oscar Montoya.
Yes.
We're on the same coast. It's a gay blood moon. So
I love that. It's a gay blood moon. Any plugs besides?
I guess just Female Gaze May 4th.
Female
we have
Gaze
brushes
4th.
With reality, people who have met reality stars.
Timothy Dunn.
Timothy Dunn has met Miss New York
yes.
and Jason
what?
Gore, who auditioned for Real World.
No.
Yes. Yeah.
That
so
is a story
be
that a story like that has never,
has
been,
never
told.
Been told.
He met her boyfriend named DJ Bucky Blends. So I have so many questions.
Wow.
DJ Bucky Blends.
Guys, so many shows to see on both coasts. Mm-hmm. And I can't wait to see you at all of them. Oh my God. Las Culturistas, we had fun.
We had fun. And we took it with all the same.
We
all
the serious.
Same seriousness.
Thank you, Janie Stolar. We love you a lot.
Ding dong.
Ding dong.
Bye.
Enough. Enough.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Joe Cilio, Alex Ramsey, and Brett Boehm. For more podcasts, please visit ForeverDogProductions.com.